I'm gonna stay in the season. I don't know if you feel like that. Are you okay with that? We'll cling on a little bit longer and hang on in there. How's Christmas been going? I remember seeing a comedian one time talking about his Christmas dinner, you know, and he started walking about, you know, how you eat and eat and you go, oh, why do I do that to myself? And he just walked about. And I don't know if any of you did that. He went for it big time or not. I enjoyed Steve's sharing about it all as well. Just really getting into Christmas, really going for it. It was fun talking about that. For me, I had a funny experience. I ordered something from Argos at Christmas, but you know, it wasn't actually a Christmas present. It's just not good timing. But I drove into Strabane on Christmas Eve, and I was surprised how peaceful it was. I got parked in the big farm park. And I said to the kids, a couple of the big kids were with me, I says, aren't Strabane people so sensible? They get so calm here. And it was easy to park, went for a walk, headed over to Argos. And there was a line outside Argos half a block long. So I just joined in the line there for a while to experience it. You know, you have to kind of embrace the season that way as well. And I just thought, wow, you know, I was right there in the middle of it all too. But that's Christmas. I had to go on then to Letterkenny. I had a lot of friends involved in that carol service there on Christmas Eve, which was great. Great to hear Lydia sharing. Great to hear the spiritual life that she's talking about, experiencing the community. There's life there, life in the spirit. Wonderful stuff. And courageous stuff too, isn't it? And stepping out with the Lord, great. Feel I've had answers to prayer ourselves. We've been involved a lot in Christmas outreaches in Donegal, Strabane area. And been great to make it to everyone. I did not take it for granted with the car, and that car can't handle ice at all. It just lights off. Various mechanical reasons for that. But you know, each of these events that we were able to have then were special in their different ways for helping people to connect with each other and at this time. So grateful to the Lord for that answer in prayer. I've been very aware of hard times at Christmas as well, and people missing people. Family of a close friend of mine experienced a real tragedy in recent weeks. How to get through times like that, and just the news, all that it contains. And in the circumstances of this world, we carry joy and we carry grieving, don't just mourning. And we're kind of in a balance of these two much of the time, and that's the reality. And in many ways, that's the reality of the people that we're going to be looking into here now as well in the book of Luke. So it's fantastic with the church as well, going through the Nativity Day that we had last Sunday. And just joining, love working with the audio people. And just trying to fix things and get it working. And in some ways, these kind of projects are a matter of you do as much as you can so that when some of the stuff doesn't work, you've got enough done to make them, that the whole thing kind of works. That's kind of what happens sometimes in it all. But it was great to be together in that work. And so I want us to go right back to that. We've got banners up. Bring the sign up close, and I'm going to ask my daughter Mariah here to share a reading with us from Luke chapter 2, verse 22, that section to 38, Luke 2, 22 to 38.
So Luke 2:22-38. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping and fasting, with fasting and prayer day and night. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem.
So there's the scene. We're going to journey back with these people now, again, as we were last week in the Nativity. So they journey from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, and it's 5 or 6 miles. These people are so fit, aren't they? No cars. What a way to live. And you know, in this situation, the baby didn't have to be there. Isn't that interesting? They took the baby. It was as if it was a special dedication, something like what happened with Anna and Samuel in the Old Testament. Mary's feeling all these connections. And there's no lamb. They don't have a lamb for the offering. But in a sense, Jesus is there, and we know that he becomes a lamb. How scripture ties all these things together. He becomes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And they don't have a lot of money. This offering shows that they have. So it's turtle doves, pigeons. So it tells us something of the historicity of it all as well. And the Bible is full of this, how factual it is all the time. We know that the wise men come, they bring gifts, finances into their life, but they're not here yet. They're still, things are still kind of tight for them. And all of this keeps this continual, the scriptures continually affirm their reliability this way. And they go on and they fulfill the law. They fulfill the law. Isn't it wonderful how that takes place? Because in a sense, we know that Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And here, Jesus is with a community that we call the remnant. They're the faithful of Israel, holding on to the promise. And this is who in God's plan Jesus is born into, to be in this community, in amongst the remnant. So even before Jesus is able of his own physical ability as a child to fulfill the law, the remnant are helping him to fulfill the law. Everything is in God's hand here. The first time I heard that talk of the remnant was from Granville, Betty's husband. He gathered a few men around him and said, look, anyone can speak in church. And he took us on a course together, people from different places I remember other things that Granville thought as well. In his retirement, he was continually giving. And Simeon's like this, he's living a full active life like this as well. We've a lot to learn from that generation. Let's hear it for age, right? We're going to be dealing here with Simeon And in our culture, we're sadly lacking in an understanding of the value of age, right? I'm not just saying that because I'm getting older. I'm saying it because it's the Bible, right? We want to be appreciating that and drawing that wisdom. A man gave me such a loving hug on Christmas Eve down in Letterkenny, and I just knew there's a man. He's journeyed in life. He's seen the things of God. He's grown with God. He's learned from God. He's lived in the Spirit. He's living in the Spirit, and he wants to give in to the next generation. And I can just see it in his eyes, and he's holding me, and he's wishing us on. He's just saying, let's go. Let's all keep going. Encouragement, encouragement. And Simeon brings us encouragement here. That's very much where I'm at today, is what we can learn from Simeon, how he encourages us. And he's a man living in the realms of the prophetic. He's speaking words of heaven. He talks about the consolation of Israel in verse 25. And this is a word, paraklesis. It's about comfort, exhortation, have hope, take comfort. And he's drawing so much from the Old Testament. So much has been tied together in this rich passage. Isaiah 41 says, comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord. The Lord knows our need of it. We're in this time that we're in today. We're in times of anxiety. And we have a similar need for God's comfort, God's consolation, God's work of fulfillment. And hold on to that. The Holy Spirit is very much present in this passage as well. He's so strongly present. And we'll talk more about that later. But right there in that verse I just was at, verse 25, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Isn't that amazing? That takes place. And this is Luke talking, same guy who wrote the book of Acts, and documents the arrival of the Spirit and power at Pentecost, the growth of the church through the activity of God's Holy Spirit, God at work in the mission of God through his church. This is Luke putting this together for us. Simeon is the sixth person in the infancy narratives to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. John, Baptist, Mary, Jesus, Elizabeth, Zechariah. The Holy Spirit is mentioned so repeatedly here, we are to learn that God is in control. And let that sit with us as we go through this. God is in control. God is in control. Lydia was talking about that in her experiences. God is in control. Holding to that when things look out of control, God is in control. We hold to that. It's good when we have experiences. Some people say that was a God thing, some kind of timing that happened. That can help us a great deal. I had that once with an email. If it didn't come in on a certain morning, I was not going to join a ship in Japan that was working in missions work around the world, the doulos. But it came in, and so it locked things into place and opened up a very special chapter in my life, which included things like South Africa. So I loved South Africa, all the different people there. Different cultures, special place. Simeon received a word. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. This is God's word. The angels brought a word. Simeon received a word. God is speaking in here. It's so special. It's that God is speaking. So with that in mind, let's realize this is a God who speaks. And I want to help you a little bit with context here. So if any slides can come up there, Graham, I'll show them and see if any come up. This is to give you a little, I know it's a diagram for myself, right? But this is Jerusalem in that time. Try and take your mind back there. The temple complex is up in the top right area, a big section will go on, Graham. And then try the next slide. And then just to a sense of how important it was to them, how much they invested in it. And Herod's temple here was done with aplomb. And they're journeying into this temple area together. And you know, as you think about that, how different places mean different things at different times. You know, here's Jesus going as a baby. Later on, so much drama takes place around the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. And how does Jesus see Jerusalem today in his thoughts? What is in Jesus' mind about the Jerusalem of the future? Places mean something to us, don't they, in our journey of life. And it can be poignant sometimes, you know. Out at Kelvin Hospital there can be a place where you're rejoicing in the birth of a child, and a place where you're dealing with the departure of a dear one as well, isn't it? Places are significant in our lives. They bring us thoughts and memories, and the Lord is with us through all these things in our lives. We remember that. And there's amazing circumstances taking place around this situation for Jesus. They arrive, but look at all the things that are falling into place. It's not random. It's not random. And even at the crucifixion time, you get this sense of almost mob-like chaos at times as things are being moved around in the city, situations are happening. But God is in control. Even in the middle of that, it's not as random as it seems. God is in control in our circumstances. We hold to that. The Bible's telling us that. So I'd like to think about this Simeon as he picks up this child. And he's picking up a child. Maybe they had conversation, you know, what's his name? And he gets told that the child is called Yeshua. Yahweh saves, God saves. Isn't that amazing? And all this is happening in Simeon's mind. So much is coming together in this great man's life and mind right here. And he meets this Jesus. And he senses the power of God at work bringing all this together. And he proclaims this truth that he goes on to say now in verses 29 to 32, where we'll be camped here for a little while. And what can he do but give a worshipful response in this? What can he do? It's fantastic. He's inspired. And he says these lines for us. And just before we look into them, I just loved that. I just loved how he shares, just that Clive shared a couple of weeks ago about Mary's song, you know, the expression of faith in God that has happened in song from ages past, thousands of years of it. It is incredible. And that is speaking my language. I quite like dabbling in research at the intersection of music and theology, so that's right up my street. And the influence of the church on music in our culture, sometimes not realized going through history. Wonderful thing. And so there's qualities about this, these lines in 29 to 32 that are song-like, hymn-like, and they're considered one of the Christmas songs or hymns. So it's also got a formal name, the Nunc Dimittis, which is Latin for now dismiss, which is how the translation of how verse 29 starts. We're just about to look into that together. And traces of its usage can be traced back to the 3rd and 4th centuries in Christian worship. So we're joining with that heritage as we look into these lines that Simeon's so inspired to put out here. So let's bring the lines up and see if they're on next. Are they, Graham, on the next one? We'll go maybe one step forward. Try the next slide and then come back to that one. So here we go. Let's read these lines again. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. So here we are, seasonal reflection time, right? I don't know, do you do anything deep? Any, you know, how's life? Those kind of levels of reflection, new year, where have we been at, where are we going? Some do, some don't. Simeon here is looking back and he's looking forward. His dream, you know, I just spent some time there. What am I really hearing from this? Just take a look at those words. What ultimately are we hearing from these lines? And I put it to you that what we're hearing is God's faithfulness. So if you go back a slide, please, Graham. We're going to look at it quickly in this sense here. Because can't you feel the exuberance in Simeon's life right now? Isn't it great? He is taking heart. And God has put this in the scripture so that we can take heart. And what is Simeon taking heart about? He's taking heart about God's faithfulness. The faithfulness of God. We take heart in that. We take heart in that right now in our break as we look to what's ahead. We take heart in the faithfulness of God. And I'm picking up some words in verse 29. He uses the word. He's aware of God's communication, so we're going to look at that quickly through communication. And then in the next verse, the word salvation, and then the light, you know. And so we have those terms. So got that to help us remember it a bit. Communication, salvation, illumination. So let's look at communication. God is describing what's going on. Simeon, so overwhelmed, he praises. What a time of praises is happening here. And he says a very special word for Lord that really implies the sovereignty of God, one who is control, one who is the master. And we do need to know that. Do. Hold to that. And he sees God's word at work. And we've seen that in the whole story around the Nativity. God's word is taking place. God has used the most powerful man in the world in control of the Roman Empire, Caesar, and making it possible through that for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem at just the right time. God's sovereignty, God's timing, so important. Think of the timing that's going on all the time in this section of scripture, so obvious to it. God is in control here in a very big picture from his word, right through from the Old Testament to now. But not forgetting as well, this is a very personal word. Simeon has heard personally from God. God has communicated to Simeon that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And this word to Simeon then becomes part of God's word to us in the New Testament, which is being written in the era that we're in right now. Just in God's work, God's word is coming through to us all the time. And that word, it just inspires Simeon. He's lifted up in God's presence, aware of the power of God, the magnitude of God. And he has now what I could call his magnum opus, his great contribution, his great work. And it comes from a life invested in God. It comes from the ups and downs in life. I am sure of it. And years are passing and he's continuing with the Lord and he delivers this great, great communication at this stage in life. So let's hear it for Abe. All right. What can be done as the decades pass? A lot of contribution in God's work. Maybe more than ever before. So I think I'll just move on. We'll go to the next section, salvation. The word was in some ways, God has described what is going to happen, you know, and the salvation is what is happening. God, the word describes the salvation of God that's taking place. And salvation is a person. And here's Simeon, he's kind of like an Israelite who's received Jesus. He's holding the child. He's got faith in the message. He's got faith in the Messiah himself. He's got faith in Jesus. And the word salvation is so powerful. Like deliverance, it's like in Egypt, they use the sense of deliverance from slavery, the blood price. So much is involved in the message of salvation. So we'd like to look at it quickly through what Simeon is drawing from, the book of Isaiah. And we can get a sense of God's great, great work at work all through this. I'm going to be around Isaiah 52 and 53. And I'll go through it as quick as I can, just know we're maybe still in vacation mode or something like that. Isaiah 52 and 9 and 10 say this. Isaiah 52, 9 and 10. Break forth together into singing. Think of the echoes, right, between these two ages, right? Talk about time traveling. God's outside time, isn't he? Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. The consolation, the comfort. For he has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Isaiah 52:13, a few verses later. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. I think about the cross, you know, talks about lifted up, and that phrase is used in the Gospels. The lifted up took place in a way that was some ways shocking, but very, very visible, very much in the presence of all peoples, as Jesus is up there and different languages are above him. And this was mentioned last week by Steve, even as we full on celebrate what there is to celebrate and have fun at Christmas, we full on remember the great Savior, full on, and what he has done and how the cross is anticipated in this part of the story as well, in Jesus' life. Jesus is lifted up. Moving on, a little bit later, the famous verses, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus, Yahweh, is salvation. Jesus is salvation. He is our salvation. This message about Jesus points to Jesus. We need to encounter the Jesus who is our salvation in our lives. And it comes with our response consequences, because the message, what takes place here, Simeon goes on to share how this is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, a sign that is opposed. And you know, Jesus demands a response. We will accept him or reject him, and that's the way it is. And that is what is in front of them. He is there. What am I going to do about it? Will I receive? Will I reject? He's considered in the scriptures a stumbling block. Those who just can't get past it. Serious business. How we respond to the Savior and what he's done. Now, I'm going to just send, I sort of feel there's a rhythm. There's like a poetry to what's being said here. So it causes me to tie verse 31 in with verse 30, that you have prepared in the presence of all people. Jesus is at work bringing something for everyone in the world. And as we go through the scriptures, more and more is being understood all the time. But there's a theme here that relates a lot to what is taking place in the next two lines. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. All peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, for glory to your people, Israel. Jesus is a visible evidence of God's work and God's truth. We're in the book of John, and when we're not on other topics as a church, Jesus says in chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And same chapter, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Light and truth, and Jesus is the visible evidence of this. And even that section in John goes on to outline the reaction. People either are receiving him or rejecting him right there. This is a precious thing, this light. So I think that there's something about light, right? And we've had a little bit of a thing about this. Okay, and Christmas this year. See if I can work it. Put it correctly up. Okay, so this one has a couple of fancy things on it. You can do that. Which is kind of handy when you're going out, as the kids go out at evenings, dark evenings, to feed the quail and the chickens and stuff. So maybe I'm getting firewood. Useful stuff, right? But it's probably quite bright, is it? Not on. So you can see the light, but by the light we can see where we're going, right? Both things. And Jesus is the light, right? By Jesus we can see Jesus, in the sense that he's revealed in the scriptures and by his spirit speaks into our lives. And by him, our path is illuminated for going forward. By Jesus, this precious light. And this is a light that is pass-onable. Because look what's happening here in this scripture. Jesus is... What's happening is something is happening for the Gentiles and the Jews. It's going out to the whole world. There was a time when people were being drawn in a centripetal way into Israel, but now with the church and the development, the gospel was flung out through the world and reaches places like here. And this is what's happening with the light of the world reaching out. And how does this happen? The Spirit is key. We want to draw on that. We need wisdom in this. We want to hold on to this personally and as a church. How do we share this light? How do we share this message in the time that we're in? We Be close to the Lord. Take heart. Dwell with him. Seek him. Be prayerful. And ask specific prayers, as we heard about earlier on. And seek God's Spirit to be helping us. And how do we want to respond to all this? Well, there's something very precious here. Let's look for personal word. Let's look for God speaking to us personally. Even here with Mary, you know, in a sense, maybe Simeon was aware of who he was holding. And he doesn't give a typical blessing. There's a certain blessing over Mary of words that are reminiscent of the Old Testament times, in some way prophetic blessing. And Mary is told that a sword will pierce her own soul also. It's almost like she knows right there that there's something very, very challenging ahead. Perhaps the crucifixion, and perhaps this prophetic word helped her keep going. What about us? How have we sensed God speaking something into our lives? Can we share it with people? Can we have a testimony about it? And as a church, how has God spoken in the church's journey? How can God speak in the journey ahead? These are things worth keeping close to us going forward in the year ahead. Marveling. They marvel, don't they? There's something else we can draw from it. We need to stay in marveling the marvelous here. So we get reminded of it week by week together. And let's stay there together when we're not at church as well. Spirit of marveling. The supernatural is so close here. Heaven is drawn close to earth. That happens at times. That's happened in the history of the church. Can it happen again? It needs to happen again. We know we're in a time as we share this gospel that in this culture, there's very little reaction. We need to seek God about this. We would like to see an outpouring of God's Spirit and Him moving in powerful realms, because we are not going to have any clever words that make things happen. How do you cope with the disinterest of our times? Except by God's power being at work. We're not doing this in our own strength. It's God's work, the supernatural. Confirming takes place. Anna comes along at the end, and she just confirms it. And we seek that from one another. Confirmation of what God is doing is very important for us as well. And providential timing. Providential timing. How God might time things. And how things can happen quickly. Some of what Lydia said happened quite fast. And even there can be a time of waiting, and then suddenly so much, so quick. So perhaps that is the road ahead as well. But we want to wait well with him. And know peace. You know, there's a sense of peace in all of this, even as they're handling the turmoil ahead and it's being prophesied. There's peace in them from God. You can sense that in it. So may God's work characterize the church and those in the church at whatever level the Lord has for us. There is a similar word for the sovereign God used in Acts chapter 4, where they lift a prayer up in verse 24. They lift their voices together to God and said, Sovereign God, Lord, who made heavens and earth. And they talk then about the wonderful things that God has done. Even in the chaos of Jerusalem at that time, they see God's hand strongly at work. And the place where they were gathered together was shaken. God makes his presence very clear to them. We don't know in what way God would bring his presence to bear and his supernatural work to bear in the church, but we want to be like Simeon, expectant, waiting on him. There's a faithfulness here in God mentioned and clearly brought out to us that we take heart from. and really what Luke makes sure we get, I think, from what Simeon says, is that we go forward having confidence in God. All right, thank you. Let me just pass it back over there.